rather than us having to adjust to the world. And this is most obvious when it comes to little children. Little children have no problem with the world around them. They're able to live their values and ideals without being bothered by anything around them. The Rebbe says one of the things we have to learn from little children is that a child could give away their last penny. A child can give away their last penny because they're not worried about where the next one's coming from. Wherever the last one came from. So if they see a poor person, so they stick their hands in their pocket, they take out their last dime and they give it away. Because that's their reality. The reality is that if someone needs and you have, so give it to them. So it's, well, so you say, oh, listen, when the children get older, we have to educate them that no. That's very nice. That's very good when you're a kid. But you have to get real. You have to adjust to the real world. In the real world, you don't do that. In the real world, you got to have a savings account, and you have to have your IRA, and you have to have your retirement account, and you have to have your mortgage, and you have to know what you have for 6 years from now. And for when you're 65, and after you took care of all of that, and you took care of your children, and you made sure that your great-grandchildren have, so if there's a little left over, then of course you give the poor person. No question. But you have to be real, you have to be realistic. It's a tough world out there. You can't just give your money away. So the Rebbe says we could all learn from the little children. Where does your money come from? It comes from the Eibishter. So just like the little child has no problem giving away his last dime because the next one will come from wherever the last one came from. So you should also, if you lived in the reality, that Torah Mitzvah is the reality and the concealments of the world are not real, then you should be able to do the exact same thing. Why not? What do you mean? Where's tomorrow's going to come from? Where did today's come from? The Eibishter will still be in business tomorrow. He'll still be around. He took care of you today, he'll take care of you tomorrow. But if you live in his reality, if you live in the Weltliche reality, so he'll treat you in a Weltliche way. If you live in a worldly reality, he'll treat you according to the rules of nature. If you realize that Igias Man Gulaschem and you're ready to live in his reality, so he'll treat you by his reality. Little children, for instance, are totally unashamed to proclaim whatever they learn. They learn something, they're taught something, it's true, they have no problem telling it to anybody. I just went Friday morning to a bris of a mishpacha in Lakewood. And my son came with his yichi yarmulke. And he's very excited. He also came, he wanted to show everybody the doubles that he had from his Mashiach album, the extra pictures that he had. So my first instinctive reaction was to say, listen, to tell him, listen, put the pictures away. Maybe you should wear his Tzivos Hashem yarmulke instead, maybe. Because, I cringe a little. It's Lakewood. My relatives feel uncomfortable and these people feel uncomfortable. But then I thought to myself, I said, one second. My son has no problem with this. To him, he doesn't know that there's a world that you have to sometimes act differently with the world. He knows that there's a Rebbe and there's Yechi, and that's all he knows. So I said, maybe what I should be doing is learning to be like him. Instead of trying to teach him how to be like me, with my golosticka attitudes, and with my compromises and my adjustments, why don't I learn to be like him? He has no problems. He's totally oblivious. So I come to this bris, and my brother-in-law learned in yeshiva, which I had also learned in at whose son's bris it was. Learned in a different yeshiva, which I had once learned in. And at that time, I was one of the older boys. It was a pretty new yeshiva. And they started with older boys and early high school. And nothing in between. They wanted some older boys to get the place started. And they started a high school. So when I came in, there were the older boys and there were these young boys. And they looked up and they idolized some of these young boys really looked up to the older boys. And somehow, I'm not quite sure exactly how it happened, but many legends, some which did happen and some which never happened, developed about myself. And whenever I meet these guys, they say, oh, they get all excited. And they say, oh, I remember this, remember that. Oh, is it true about this? Is it true about that? Anyway, sure enough, I come to this bris and there's two of these fellas are there. And I'm standing there with my son, and these guys are like looking at me like, oh, this is the guy they remember, character. And I'm like ready to drop through the floor. You know, I'm standing there, my son is with his yichiyamkes and his pictures and his, you know. But I'm going along with it. And the guys, yeah, they're talking to me, and they ask me if I have any children. So I point, that's my son. So he looks over like he's trying to read the yarmulke. Like he looks the yarmulke over. And then he says to me, he says, oh, that's still going on? So I said, yeah, not only is it going on, but it's getting stronger. She said, yeah, interesting. And then he continued on to whatever, to the next topic. And that was the extent of the reaction I got. So I could have put my son a little deeper into Golos by explaining to him that there are some people who don't like it and they don't understand it, blah, blah, blah. And he would have thought, okay, you act one way in your house and you act a different way when you're in other places. You have to make adjustments to the real world. Instead, I did something which for myself might have been a little more difficult. But I try to teach myself to learn to adjust to the reality that my child lives in rather than trying to force my child to adjust to the reality that I live in. But the problem is that we don't just teach our children by what we tell them, by what we teach them directly. Our children learn far more from our values, from the things that we do not say, than from the things that we do say. As a certain guy once said, I'm trying to listen to what you say, but your actions are screaming so loud that I can't hear. Children learn far more from the way we behave, from the choices we make, from the attitudes we show, far more than the things that we sit down and teach them and tell them. And when our children see our golosticker attitudes, they see our golosticker mentalities, they adjust to them and they adapt to them. When we see that we live in a world where there's conflict, with his Kedesh and his Chayil, and even the opposite of Kedesh, when they see that we live in a world that we're torn, when we expose to them that we have secular values, that there are other things to our lives besides for the fact that we were created to serve our Maker, that we have other interests, we have other concerns, we have other pursuits, because you have to be real. Listen, I know who I am. And I know that, you know, I'm this kind of guy. What could I do? I can't really change. This is just the way I am. You have to be real. You have to know who you are. You have to adjust to the real world. Every time that we make those kind of adjustments and those kind of compromises, we put our children into golos. And the other way around, if we're brave enough to recognize the fact that our children are naturally adapt to a geula lifestyle, and we're brave enough to let them lead us, and we're brave enough to follow, then we take ourselves a little bit out of goals. I told two of the principals of yeshivas here in the community, I met with them and I had a discussion with them, and I said that my son started learning Mishnayos Baal Peh, and I told him that whatever he learns Baal Peh, I'll match him, that he'll lead and I'll follow. They were shocked and they did not react too well to it, because they never heard of such a concept. The traditional way of chinuch was that you have to pretend like you know it all, you have to pretend like you're a ready finished product and you're the expert, and kid, you better listen to me or else. To empower the children, to turn to our children and say, you can do it better than we can. In this prat, in the union of living geuladik, of living with the Torah as reality, no matter what the world around says, you're better at it than we are. You're more unself-conscious than we are. You're more natural than we are. And I'm willing to follow your lead. Not chas v'sholem, the secular concept of glorifying the youth, because the youth can have more fun. But adrav, recognizing the tremendous power and potential that youth have, and using it and letting them be themselves and develop according to their capacities, and learning to adjust to them rather than making them adjust to us. We're starting to see today, for many, many years, the inadequacies of parents and educators in the area of chinuch was somewhat covered over by the fact that the children grew up Reivensach and Stufensach beim Reb. They grew up pushing and being around the Rebbe. They grew up seeing the Rebbe. They grew up coming to Fabrengens. They grew up with the Rebbe's voice. They grew up with the Rebbe's tefillas. They grew up with Giluyim, with sirens in the middle of the night, with Kontresim, with things, with happenings. And therefore, people were able to be a little more lax. Not that it was a good idea, but people did it anyway. And you could get away with it more, because the fact is that a kid was gestopft beim Rebbe, a kid that grew up around the Rebbe, pushing by the Rebbe's Verbrengens, by the Rebbe's Tfilas, came out more or less okay. Some came out better than okay. If today we find ourselves in a situation that we don't have that, it's not chas v'sholem that the Rebbe is trying to tell us that, sorry, your kids should have to be messed up. I don't think that's the message. The message is that today you have the keches to bring out, to raise your children in a way that was never done before. Today you have the abilities, you have the capacities to raise the kind of children that not only follow you, but the kind of children that it's worth it for you to follow them. And dafka now, when there is no revealed outside interference from the Rebbe, dafka now is the time when we have to put these tools to use. So on the one hand, the time that we live in is a time of tremendous potential. But at the same time, the times that we live in is also a time that we're starting to see more and more openly the inadequacies. We're seeing more and more people falling between the cracks. We're seeing the cracks get wider. And we're seeing, at least I am, most people aren't even looking, so they're not seeing, a tremendous apathy. A yish. People have almost given up. I met with a certain person who told me that he's having problems with one of his children. And I started giving some recommendations, and I saw that the person did not want to hear it. So I said, okay, tell me, what are you doing about it? She says, what do you mean, what am I doing about it? He says, every free moment I have, I run to the aisle. This is a person who works 10, 12 hours a day for his parnasa. And I felt like asking him, how about working 10, 12 hours a day to save your son and run to the aisle for parnasa? You're spending 10, 12 hours a day on parnasa, you're running to the aisle so your son should be saved? Maybe try the other way around. Maybe your son should be saved is more important. Why do people expect magical solutions? Because they're spoiled. Because we knew that you could be a rotten parent and a lousy educator, and the kids that ever took care of it, right? So now people, the same thing, people want magical solutions. They want that one day they'll go to the aisle, and one day magically the kid will wake up and everything will be fine. When the Rebbe says, Nayim Yayim, that just like it's an obligation on every man to put tefillin on every day, it's an obligation to spend at least a half hour a day thinking about the chinuch of your children and how you will get them to go in the ways that you're trying to teach them. And in Tavshin Nun Beis, the Rebbe spoke about how chinuch has to be a way, you have to have a long-term chinuch program. You have to plant seeds. Chinuch is not crisis intervention. Trying to get through the day, trying to get them fed and dressed and in bed and into school and get through the day. Chinuch has to have, you have to have a long-term program. You have to plant seeds today. Just like Begashmias. When you go to work, you plant, you plow, you plant, and you don't expect to see results till down the road. You're not working for immediate results. You're planting seeds. So too the Rebbe says, the chinuch today has to be in a way of planting seeds. You have to plant the seeds so that they should grow down the road. But we have to have our priorities straight. We have to know what's truly important to us. We have to know that our mission to provide for the spiritual nurturance and sustenance of the Chelke Eleika Mimal Mamish that are entrusted in our care are far more important than our obligations to provide material sustenance. And that's also part of the problem. Our children learn from us. They see where we put our efforts. What's most important to us. Very often we give messages to our children that are not the things that we're trying to say. As we mentioned earlier, in fact, the inspiration for this gathering was a letter, an Igros Kedush, where the Rebbe is addressing the faculty of a school. Where the Rebbe says it is clear from the school that the value, the emphasis is on the secular education in the school rather than on the Lamudei Kedush. And the Rebbe says even though no one is telling the children that English is more important, Certainly the Rebbes and the principals are not saying this to the children. But the Rebbe says, you don't have to tell children. They get the message. They see, where are you putting in your kaiches? Where is the school putting the emphasis? Where are there better learning materials? Where are they more concerned about the tests and the marks and performance? Where are the energies being put? And the kids realize, okay, if this is where the kaiches are going, this is what's more important. And the Rebbe says it's urgent that you make an immediate gathering to discuss this problem of chinuch, and to emphasize that you have to teach our children Torah values and see to it that they reject secular values. So when parents put their energies and their efforts into areas of life that are not directly in line with Anila Nivresia Lashamashus Kaini, then they send these messages to their children. I remember the first time I saw in 770 a little boy before his upsharon wearing a leather yarmulke. Tears came to my eyes. A parent decreed that their child will grow up in Crown Heights and go to Meisnes in Crown Heights, and their child will be a child with a leather yarmulke. Of course, when they'll go to yeshiva and the yeshiva has a dress code, they're going to adjust their dress code. No, really, it doesn't make a big difference what material your yarmulke is made out of. As long as you realize that the purpose of the yarmulke is to remind you that Hashem is above you, and to remind you to have constant Yerushalayim, constant fear of heaven. But children look around them and they realize they associate with externals, they associate values to things that to us seem only external. People say to me, chitzenius, well, the yeshivas are now making them wear white shirts and dress codes. Chitzenius, Chabad is about panemius. So I asked the person, I said, tell me, do your kids like to wear jeans? Your bachram like to wear jeans? He said, yeah, in the summer, and this, and that, over here, over there. I said, what happens if you would tell them you can't wear jeans? Would they bother them? She says, would they listen to you? He said, no. So I said, that means it's not only that they don't care about chitzenius. They also care about chitzenius. They just care about it the wrong way. If you told me that you raised a child that to him wearing jeans or wearing a kilt was the same thing, he couldn't care less what he had on his feet, so I would tell you, you raised a panemius digger child. All he cares about is his Yerushalayim. All he cares about is his chassidus. All he cares about is that Hashem Echad, Einad Mulvadeh. You raised a very chassidus child. If your child cares about his clothes, if he needs shoes with pom-poms, otherwise he can't show his face in Zal, because everyone else has pom-poms, then you did not raise a child that doesn't care about chitzenius. You raised a child who does care about chitzenius for all the wrong things. So people say, they're measuring the length of the hair now, and this and that. What happened to Chabad? What happened to Panemius? You're right. That's the question. What happened to Panemius? What happened to Chabad? Where'd it go? As somebody who grew up in a world, I did not have the benefit of Chassidish education, and I did spend many hours in front of a mirror with my comb and my brush, and on special occasions even a blow dryer. I know what it means to be involved in Chatzenius. I even know what it means to learn Torah for Chatzenius Dikur reasons. I never was an angel, and I'm still not. And I know exactly what these kids feel. I know exactly what they're going through. What I don't understand is why are they going through it growing up in Crown Heights and getting a Chassidus Shechinuch? Why should they be going through this? It did not come from the children. The genes didn't come from the children. The hair didn't come from the children. The little yarmulkes didn't come from the children. Don't blame the children. It came from the adults who decided, listen. Chabad is premium, right? So I don't really have to change the way I look. We give these things to our children. If we're ready to follow our children's lead, to be like them, they don't care. The Friedrich Rebbe said over there when he was a little child, the Rebbe Marash said to his father, the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe Marash said, "Er is an edele." You could see that naturally he's a refined being. Zei adusolstam nishfa greben. See to it that you don't coarsen him. That you don't make him grub. So the Friedrich Rebbe said that I walked around my whole childhood with a simple one-piece garment, a plain shirt. He was the son of a Rebbe in a Chassidus Chotzer. So you would think that the son of the Rebbe would be treated, you know, they'd dress him up nice. So the Rebbe Rashab understood that when his father told him that his son is an edler and he shouldn't make him grub, means that he shouldn't dress him up fancy. Aye, Chabad Mont Pnimius. What does dressing up fancy have to do with making a child grub? There's another story with the Friedrich Rebbe. He describes as a young boy, he would prepare the wine, the bottles of wine, for the Pesach Seder. And he had just gotten brand new clothes for Yom Tov. And he was being extra careful with the wine not to get himself dirty. And the Rebbe Rashab sharply criticized him that you're concentrating on your clothes and not on, you're involved in doing a mitzvah and you're concentrating on your clothes. Yeah. It's true that Chabad is not into Chatzenius. But Chatzenius could have a tremendous impact and impression on a young child. If a Rebbe, the son of a Rebbe, the grandson of a Rebbe, the great-grandson of a Rebbe, needs to be careful not to become fagrept, that he shouldn't become involved in his clothing, then how much more so do we have to protect our children? We think we're providing for them. A mother once came to me and said that my son, he sits in my smedrash all day and he walks around with his shirt out and he won't wear the Gap sweaters that I buy him. What do I do? Is this normal? Is this healthy? I go out, I spend big money, I buy him sweaters from the Gap, and he won't wear it. He says it's not Chassidus, and he's not interested. What do I do? This is a problem that a woman came to me with. I said, lady, you don't have problems, you should have nachas. But she didn't know what I was talking about. She She didn't really believe me. Yeah, really? It's good? I said, yeah, it's very good. She says, yeah, really? You sure? It's normal? It's healthy? I said, yeah, it's very good. That's what we're worried about. We're worried about if the women's magazines will call it normal and healthy. Our children are screaming out, they're calling out for help. Even in the work that I do with people, with children that have already, unfortunately, given up many of... I've worked with children who are involved, who are not being shame at Torah mitzvahs, who Baruch Hashem are now sitting and learning yeshiva. And everyone said to me, oh, you're getting involved with those kids. Listen, we need a program that's going to have half a day working. We need a program that's going to have secular education. You know why we have all these problem kids? Because we don't have enough secular education. They don't feel that they have a future. And you get them jobs, and get them this, and get them that. That's the way we have to deal with these kids. Compromise. Compromise. It's too extreme. Our standards are too high. It's too extreme. We have to compromise. And I said to them, we're destroying our children through compromises. The Rebbe spoke about chinuch, b'negei Chanukah, that halachically they were allowed to use impure oil, and they would have had plenty of oil to burn all 8 days. And instead, the Chachamim chose only to use the pure olive oil, even though they only had enough for 1 day. The Rebbe explains, because when it comes to a matter of chinuch, there are no compromises. And the Rebbe goes further, and the Rebbe says that even things which appear to be a chut hasaira, they appear to be a hair, a minor issue, irrelevant. The Rebbe says that you have to be prepared to have Mesiras Nefesh, just like the Chashminoim in the time of the Chanukah Sabayas. You have to be prepared to have Mesiras Nefesh on the smallest Kleinikai. And that in a time, when you live in a time of danger, of spiritual destruction, it says that in a time of Shmad, when our enemies are trying to get us to give up Yiddishkeit, we have to be prepared to give our lives even for the colors of our shoelaces. That's the Rebbe's approach to chinuch. The Rebbe's approach to chinuch is the kids want getlichkeit. The Rebbe's approach to chinuch is they want it in the purest form, uncompromising, to the point of Mesiras Nefesh, until we corrupt them. So we have a choice. Either we pull our children with us into Golos with us, or we follow them out of Golos. Clearly, the fact that we've gathered here tonight at least shows a beginning that there's an interest and hopefully a commitment to providing the type of chinuch for our children, so that we could say on our children, Kikulam Yedu Esi, Mikatnam Bad Godlam, that to raise our children in a way that they should know that Anila Nivresi al Lashamash is Keni. And that their whole existence, as the Rebbe said, the children, that you should look at them just look at them, you'll see Mashiach, and that following our children, together we will go to be mekabel ponim, pnei harabi, Mashiach tzidkenu, take it from Yad Mamash. If there are any questions, I don't know exactly to say the. I think someone is going to go up to the Ezra's Nashim to get questions from there. I'm sorry, what? Well, I don't know who has pens and paper here. Someone has to go up and get the questions. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they asked that whoever has the question should go over to the mic. So I'm sorry, it's a little... Right, so everyone should be able to hear.
Question. You said that the... I think the word that you used to... Huh? To the camera, yeah.
No.
You're making a movie of this?
No.
It's going to be. I think one of the things you said is that one of the characteristics of kids, I don't know whether you meant younger kids or older kids today, is apathy. You used the word apathy. And you described a situation where chitzonius is more prevalent and the preoccupation with it than panemius. How then, I guess to put the question simply, how then do we expect the children who behave with, who manifest those characteristics should lead us out of galus?
Okay. Well, actually, we explained that the children who are manifesting those characteristics pick them up from us. The problem is that children who were never meant to experience compromises, and the compromises that they live with are kind of imposed upon them by us. What happens is that the compromises that they make are much worse than the ones we make. And when the children encounter our lack of inspiration and our lack of enthusiasm for the fact that Ani Nivresi L'Shamash Eskeni, so their lack of enthusiasm is far more exaggerated than ours. So we say, well, okay, maybe my children won't be more Hasidish than me. Why won't they be like me? And the answer is that today it's almost impossible. Either your children will be more or they'll be less. It's a rarity that your children will be just like you, because either they find some other source of inspiration which causes them to become more involved in pneumias and more involved in the things that matter and the things that count. If not, then they will take what they learn in your home and from their peers and from their schools, and they will do it in a more exaggerated way. So in this case, when you see children showing signs of apathy after the fact, when you already have children that have been burnt out and they're already apathetic and they're already involved in chitzenius, so at the beginning you have to lead them, which means that you have to sit down with yourself and say, what can I do in my life to turn away from my involvement in chitzenius and to be more involved in pnimius, to be more involved in the things that I truly value? How could I be more effective at communicating these values? And how could I raise the level of inspiration and involvement in Yiddishkeit in my home? Starting with myself. You have no choice but to lead. And it's an amazing thing that when you work on yourself, your kids will not only follow, But eventually they will bypass you and they will move back to the position that they're supposed to be in, which in today's day and age, which is to lead. Both myself and my wife come from a background. We're both given a from education. And we went to the finest schools. But we also grew up in somewhat liberal homes in which we were exposed to a lot of secular influence. And even before we had discovered Hasidus, we came to Lubavitch when my son was more than a year old. On our own, we realized that we did not want to expose our children to the things that we were exposed to. And therefore we knew we would have to make changes in our own life. So it meant getting rid of non-Jewish music. It meant getting rid of non-Jewish books. It meant doing everything we could to see to it that my son would not be exposed to anything secular starting from 9 months before he was born. If we sat in a bus or in a car service where it was playing non-Jewish music, instead of sitting back and enjoying, we would ask the driver to please close it. Because there was an unborn child on this bus that we didn't want to be exposed to this stuff. This was before I didn't know anything about Hasidus and about the Rebbe and about how Chinuch starts before the child is born. It was just, I understood it somehow instinctively. We knew. And this has nothing to do with, like I said, it has nothing to do with personally being on a very high spiritual level. It has to do, we did it for our son who had, at that time was unborn. We did not do it because we felt spiritually at that time moved to make these changes. We did it only to protect a neshama that was not yet born from being exposed to these influences. So we even as we led the way and we made the changes in our own life, but we did it, but even in that situation, we let our child lead the way because we were doing it for him. Baruch Hashem, I can't complain. Baruch Hashem, I'm grateful. I certainly don't miss it. And I'm certainly glad that it's out of my life. And I've learned from this that if we could do it for these things, we could do it for any other thing. But we have to be open. We have to be open. We have to realize and recognize the magnitude of our mission, the magnitude of the obligation of dealing with a neshama that was put in our care. And to recognize their infinite potential. And when we do that, we not only can allow our children to reach their potential, but we could let them help us reach our potential. So certainly there are situations where you have to show leadership. Certainly there are situations where you have to make changes in yourself.